Grace to you and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our texts for today, this Trinity Sunday, are from Isaiah 6 and Revelation 4, where we see God's angels up in heaven proclaiming, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." This is our text. I have to share with you that last night I messed up the slides for that hymn and had the third verse twice. And the congregation just sang the verse the second time like it was nothing. It was just absolutely crazy. Anyway, happy Father's Day. To anyone that applies to, our fathers and really our parents in general are really God's greatest gifts to us besides our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not just because they give us life, but because they serve as wonderful role models for us. And in many cases, it is our fathers, our parents, who bring us to the faith. So next to God, our parents, and particularly today, our fathers, are wonderful, wonderful gifts and wonderful role models and examples of the faith. That being said, we're going to do something a little bit different today. For our message, we are going to focus on our opening hymn. Hymn 507, that hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. So if you want to open up your hymnals so you can follow along, that might be a little bit helpful to you. It's interesting to note that while the word holy appears 611 times in the Bible, and I went through and counted every single one. The phrase, holy, 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 only appears twice in all of Scripture. And both times, those words, holy, 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 are not spoken by human beings. They are spoken by angels up in heaven. Both Isaiah and John, the disciple that Jesus loved, were given visions where they get to see this amazing scene up in heaven. Isaiah records it this way: "The Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, the train of his robe filled the temple, and above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings, with two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, with two he flew. And one called to one another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory." That's Isaiah's version. John's version is very similar. In Revelation chapter 4, John sees four living creatures it talks about, but they are angels. And again, he writes, "And each of them with six wings, they are full of eyes all around and within, and day and night they never cease to say, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And so you can see that both of those versions are very, very similar, those groups of angels proclaiming how holy God is. And so it's these two passages that serve as the inspiration for the hymn, Holy, 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 written by Reginald Heber, who is an Anglican bishop in India. And he wrote this poem specifically for Trinity Sunday. And while he probably wrote a tune to go along with it, two decades later, the current Nicaea melody was written for it, and so that it continues to be a popular hymn in many Christian denominations. That very first verse begins, "Holy, holy, holy," and it ends, "Blessed Trinity." And this is done to summarize the teaching of the scripture that God is three persons, and yet he is just one God. And the Bible begins to lay out a case for the Trinity very early in scripture. We read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." And so you see that God uses the plural and not the singular. Let us make man in our image, in our likeness. And later on in Isaiah, God cries out, "Whom shall I send, and who will go out for us?" And again, God refers to himself in the plural as us. And of course, the most popular instruction that Jesus gives us in Matthew 28, when Jesus tells us to go and baptize all nations in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And we know that these are not three names for three individuals. They are not three names for one individual, but they are three names for three parts of the united Trinity. Each part is fully God, and yet there are not three gods, but one God. Yeah, "Holy, Holy, Holy" is a very popular hymn. We sing it pretty regularly. And yet, do we really contemplate what it means to be holy? I mean, what exactly does holy mean? And why is holy repeated three times? Isaiah 6 begins with this vision of God, and three things stuck in Isaiah's head as he saw this vision. The first is that God was seated up high on this throne. And the second is that he was high and exalted. And the third is that the train of his robe filled the entire temple. And the seraphs cried out to one another that the Almighty Lord is holy, 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 repeating those words three times for emphasis. That was common in the Old Testament. Repeating a word three times held an important value in the Hebrew language. Repetition stands out as something important. We do it in English as well, you know, when we see it in a phrase like something is far, far away. Usually it's the galaxy that's far, far away. It really serves to tell us that it is very far away. But the fact that the word is repeated three times indicates a state of completion, a state of absoluteness. And so both in Isaiah and in Revelation, the word holy is repeated three times to emphasize the enormity of God's holiness, the completeness of God's holiness. God is totally and completely holy. And as verse 3 of our hymn says, nobody else is. The inspiration for verse 2 of Holy, Holy, Holy comes from the fourth chapter of Revelation, where we see the 24 elders. And so we assume that the 24 elders, they make up 12 elders from the Old Testament, 12 elders from the New Testament, probably the 12 tribes of the Old Testament, and the 12 apostles of the New Testament, so that it represents all the believers in Jesus Christ. So those who believed that God was going to send a Messiah in the Old Testament, and all those who believed that Jesus Christ was the Messiah in the New Testament. And so our author represents it by saying, all the saints adore thee. We see this in Revelation 4, where John writes that they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. You see, before God created the world, God ordained, as our Old Testament lesson, our epistle lesson says, that this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. So because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they are the only ones deserving of praise. And so those 24 elders, they're not worthy to wear those crowns before God. And so they kneel down before God and they cast off their crowns before the throne in a sacred act of worship. And so they worship their God, realizing that Jesus is the reason for their salvation. The inspiration for verse 4 comes again from Revelation, but this time from Revelation chapter 7, where John writes, and after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and all peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. That's kind of hard to put to music, you know? It's kind of hard to sing as a hymn. And so Reginald uses his poetic license and reduces that to the phrase, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. And so when we get to heaven, we can imagine everyone will be praising God. No one will be left out. The angels and archangels and all the company of heaven will be crying out to our most holy God. In fact, they're probably doing it right now as we are here gathered for worship. And so there you have it, a little explanation of one of the greatest hymns written to our God. Until we get to heaven, we will really never realize how holy our God is. Because while we're here down on earth, we are so surrounded by sin that God's holiness is really totally alien to us. But when we get up there, we also will be holy. Probably not holy as God, but we will be holy. So once again, happy Father's Day. I hope you get to spend some time relaxing by the grill. I know that's my hope this afternoon, if the rain holds off. But whether you're relaxing by the grill or you get a chance to get out on the golf course, spend some time thinking about the holiness of God. How, because of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, we too will be holy when we get to heaven. You think about it, a lot of our hymns in our hymnal, they are really prayers. And so they are totally appropriate for us to ponder and to look at and to use for prayer to our Lord and our God. And so if you've got a hymnal at home, Or if you don't, then go and Google this hymn, Holy, 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 and print it out this week and put it up on your refrigerator and spend some time pondering the wonders of God and how holy and unique He is, being the only triune God in any religion. No other religion has a triune God like we do. Only we do. Which shows us that man can't make this stuff up. It truly comes from God Himself. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which far surpasses all of our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forevermore. Amen.